Can you hear the music?
Nah.
Man, there's only been one person that can hear the music in like the last few weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just kind of staticky on this end.
Wonder what that is. Just pretend you can hear it.
Let me pull my dick out?
Yes.
That's what I got known for.
Yeah, please do. You know,
I got a shit ton of dick stories, dude.
Oh, bro, me too. Me too. Yeah, you're on the throne with dick. You know, like
I know.
It didn't happen by accident. Yeah, you know?
This was God, man.
Something to do, something like that. Yeah,
something. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe witchy.
Oh shit! Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick, man. And shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that intro, outro. Find him everywhere, man. And man, this one came together like fairly quickly compared to a lot of them. You know, like fucking. We made her work, dude. We, you know, on this week, we got John. Supervisors say, what? Is that how it's meant to be said?
It's so crazy how that TikTok name, the content that I was going to produce and the content that I am producing is totally different. But yeah, supervisor said what?
Are you a supervisor?
Yes. Yes, I am.
There you go. Fuck yeah. Supervisors say, what?
Yeah, boy.
What's going on, buddy?
All right, dude. Well, first and foremost, the Iron Patch Hat Company that sponsors me, they're on TikTok, several social medias. The guy that owns the company actually was like 10 years oil and gas as well.
Hell yeah.
And he got out of it to be home with his family, and he started this hat company. And dude reached out to me and gave me some free shit. And, you know, he put me on the spot with my first fucking... Yeah, my first sponsor. So big shout out to them. This particular hat is called the Supervisor. It's named after me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So
get me one of them, bro. Yeah, I got to get me like a dick or something. Like
he followed you for a while, I guess. He knows who you are.
I followed him back when you were telling me about it. So I
badass.
I followed him back. I got to get him on the podcast next.
Yeah, cool ass dude, man. Real good dude.
Fuck yeah, man. What's your code?
Supervisor said what?
Supervisor said what?
I think it's like a $8 or $12 discount off of it, something like that.
Fuck yeah.
I can't remember now, but you get a discount off of it, and of course I get a little something too.
Yeah, man. Fuck man, I've had like I saw your video this morning and I've had like the weirdest day. Okay. Like I've worked like 15-hour days every day for like the last fucking 3 weeks, 2 weeks. Right. Like I went home for a couple days in there. So there was a couple days where I didn't work at all, but like when I came back, boom, right into the fire again. Right. Right. 15 hours. Boom. Today. So I had to run a pallet of water, like cases of water out to the rig. Right. That's an easy day. That's like here's fucking 3-4 hours and, you know, take a break and whatnot. And they gave me a brand new crew truck. Dude, if you know anything about me, that's not a smart thing to do.
Giving me a
truck in general, you know? Yeah. So they gave
me ours in the ditch.
They gave me a fucking brand new crew truck with like, I think there's 10,000 kilometers on it. Which is, I don't know what it is in miles.
I was going to say kilometers. I forgot Canadian. I forgot.
Yeah, we don't speak them American freedom.
Half of us don't either.
Yeah, so I did that. I took my time coming back. They put cameras in the company truck now. So, like, I'm forced to behave, right? Like, man, I looked at my phone down here like this earlier, and it's like, get off your phone. I'm like, son of a bitch, right? And then, you know, I stayed like 20 under the whole time because it's snowing and icy. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I dropped the water off at the rig. I get back. I hit up A&W. And then I get back. I text you. And then I laid down. Dispatch calls again right away. Hey, man, the guys have been out on the rig for like 30 hours. You know, like the cementers, they fucked up. Whatever happened, you know, they had some malfunctions. The guys have just been sitting there for 30 hours, right? They're getting ready to do her now. This will be a 30-hour day. And can you run the boys some pizza and coffee? I'm like, yeah, man, I'm in, because I got the fucking truck, right? So I get back in the big boy truck, and I fucking head on down the road with the pizza in the back, and I'm like, man, I'm having me a couple of these slices, right? Like, so I fucking, I get there, they're happier than a pig in shit. I jump in with the one guy, and I start eating pizza with him, right? We're just hanging out. And I'm like, fuck, I gotta go, man. I got a podcast to do tonight with Supervisor Sam. What? Right? And here we are, man. I booted it back, and I'm just chilling here now.
So, yeah, I think we were originally trying to do it this morning, but it just, even my schedule wasn't going to work. I thought I was going to be able to, and then I got busy, and
yeah,
you know how it works. Yeah, being gone, you come home, you got a shit ton of things to get done.
Absolutely, buddy. Absolutely. Yeah. So what is it that you do, man? You work in the oil patch, but like...
So I've got, I just crossed over 10 years in wireline.
Shit.
So I've got my crane license. You know, I got a CDL. But I've been doing this for a good while, which anybody that's, I'd say most, you know, a good portion of your viewers know what wireline is, but it's just the explosives end of the, of oil and gas. You know, we perforate it.
It's we the shoot business holes. End of the gun, boy. Oh.
What is it?
It's the business end of the gun.
It is, dude. I've watched those guns go off on surface, and it's fucking crazy. We shoot those shape charges into the casing, and then it spreads out into the earth's formation, and then frac comes in and fills those holes with sand, and then, you know, you can pump your oil or gas, whatever, through those sand deposits. I've been doing that. I've only had my crane license for, I got to recert this March. So this March will be 5 years with a crane license.
Good for you.
I've had my CDL for about 10 years as well.
Good for you, man. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. How old are you? I'm 33. Well, 33 in June.
Just a young boy. Still.
Just a whippersnapper. I come from, I used to work maximum security prisons. I've done that for several years. I worked underground in the coal mines and on the strip, and then I got into oil and gas. Actually, I was at the prison. I was working night shift, and a buddy of mine, Michael, I seen him at Central Control. We were doing shift change, and I was leaving. I was getting off work, and he come up to me, and been good buddies. He said, hey, man, it's like, you know, I'm leaving in like, you know, a couple of days, wherever he's going. I said, hell, if they pay a couple pennies more, I'll go with you. And he handed me the business card to the company that I'm working for now. And I walked out in the parking lot, and I called that dude's cell phone at like 7 a.m., 6 a.m. And he answered, and he's like, you know, I told him, I was like, hey, dude, I'm just looking for a job. My boy told me about you. And he's like, oh, okay, well, when you want to come in for an interview? I said, Google Maps says you're 3.5 hours away. I'll see you at lunch. And he was like, oh, whoa, wait a minute. You know, and I was like, nah, man, I'm already headed there. I'm coming. So like the whole ride up there, I am watching YouTube videos on wireline, trying to just be able to talk about it. And the problem is, I don't know what wireline is. So like the shit I was watching on YouTube wasn't it. So like I go in there and like I start talking, and it was not it. And he's just looking at me. Thank God though, that dude, the dude that interviewed me, I figured out why he got moved from the field to inside the shop, because he didn't know what the fuck he was talking about either. he just wanted to talk about himself. The whole fucking interview, we just talked about himself. And then he was like, well, we've had a lot of good luck with boys from West Virginia, so you're hired. And I was like, fuck yeah, man.
You don't know what you're doing here, boy. You're
They said every guy we've ever hired from West Virginia has been a fucking outstanding worker. We'll take you. That's how I got my start. I made my name by not really, you know, I mean, I was a good worker, don't get me wrong, but I was new. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. But I made my name while I was still in training at the shop with management because somebody said something. I don't know. They pissed me off or something. I just pulled my dick out in the office, started shaking it at them. And that's God's honest truth. And dude, they've loved me ever since before they even knew if I was a good worker or not. And like,
You must be well hung for management to be like, yeah, that boy's a keeper, you know.
I ain't never made a girl moan, but I made a few giggle. That's it.
Same.
But, Yeah, that was the start of this journey. And then this journey led to, you know, getting my crane license. And then that led to the FEMA work. And I was in the front newspaper of the Santa Maria newspaper for this massive flooding they had. And we went down there and, you know, fixed the whole fucking problem because the town was flooding out and like they were taking serious damage. And it led to that shit. Like it just led to all kind of crazy experiences. And then I eventually made my way back over to the oil and gas after about 2 or 3 years of that kind of stuff. I contracted in oil and gas for a while till that dried up. And then I had to go back to a company. But man, it's been a wild 10 years in this industry, man. I can't thank this industry enough for the doors it's opened up for me.
100%, man. 100%. I've been in the patch 16 years now.
Phew.
Man, dude, it's crazy. You're just a young fucking kid when you start. You blink and it's almost 20 years
later. It's
gone.
It's gone.
That's what happens.
When you live your life in hitches, man, it's gone. It's nothing day to day. You can't explain this to people that ain't lived in it. My whole life is literally like when I'm gone, you know, everything back home keeps going. And so when I come home, I'm just like trying to figure out where my place is at home. You know what I mean? Trying to catch up, trying not to be in the way of everything. Like, you know what I mean? Like fucking up people's routines. And like, it's a little confusing at times, especially if you go out for a bender for, you know, 10, 12 weeks and you come back and you're like, who are these people in my house?
Dude, I made videos about that, man, where it's like, you know, when I come home, it's like, I'm looking around. I'm like, what is this place? I did 6 months at a time for a little bit there. Spent 20 days at home in 2 years. And man, dude, you come home, like you said, dude, it's depressing sometimes. It's hard. That's hard mentally, dude. It's depressing all the time, man.
I have struggled, especially these last few years, dude. Like my youngest boy's autistic and he is a huge daddy's boy. I mean, huge. But the thing, he's super high functioning. So, like, at 6 years old, he's got this, you know, I'm a crane operator, and he loves cranes and excavators and things. Yeah. And, like, I could talk to him, like, about the guts of a crane, you know, load charts, shit like that. And he understands it. Not only understands it, but 6 months later, he'll randomly repeat everything I said. Like,
my daughter's six. She does the same thing, bro.
So, like, not that part, cranes. That's what really gets to me at times. That's for sure.
My 6-year-old doesn't do it with cranes. She does it with like the human anatomy. Like she wants to stab people and bite them and punch them. And she's all about that shit, you know? So like 6 years old.
A horror child.
Oh, she'll remember how you pissed her off a year ago, man. And she can't hold you back, you know? Like, yeah. It's wild. It's wild, man. Yeah. Coming home and trying to fit back into routines, man. It's hard. You know, and we got to let it happen because we're one person and they're many, right?
Yes. So, and their personalities are constantly changing.
Dude. Yeah, man. Mine's the same. I'm a miserable piece of shit all the time, you know?
And like, sometimes it's hard because you come home and, you know, and I just spent anywhere from 2 to 5+ weeks gone with grown ass men, you know, that I'm fucking yelling at most of the day. And I come home and I'm like, you know, something will happen. You get a little worked up and you're just like, you feel yourself getting ready to just, and you're like, I just got to step away a minute. Cause like, you don't want to come home and yell at your kids and shit. So like, you got to stop and you got to get out of that. Same thing when I worked at the prison, man. When I come home after working at that maximum security prison, dude, fuck, man. I'm glad when I got out of there, I didn't realize how bad off I was. Until I got out of that fucking place. That place turned me into a fucking monster.
Man, you go home after a day at the maximum security prison, you pull your pants down, you're like, baby, come here, let me show you what I learned today, you know?
So I've seen that one. Dude, my first week at that prison, there was like 2 stabbings and a suicide.
Shit.
Yeah, man. I seen a dude with an ink pen shoved down his dick hole jacking off. I swear to God, crazy as shit. I've got a lot of good stories from that place, too. Dude, that's fucking, I've seen a lot of, I've seen this dude make the most beautiful sculpture of a Harley Davidson, and I mean detailed, like detailed out of his own shit. Like, he made shit statues, and like he would make statues of like the guards and shit, and like they look good. He did a good, but I mean, it's poop, but they look good.
Don't touch me. Man, this is a beautiful, like, impression of me, you know, like. You know, I almost want to, like, you know, can I take this home?
You're gonna I've been close. Put that in a Ziploc bag and give it to me. we had that one inmate up in mental health unit, and he was like 70 years old, and I mean, Jack, dude did like 300-400 push-ups a day inside that cell, and he was dangerous. He could get on one. Well, nobody fucking told me that you don't whistle around this guy, and I grew up and still watch to this day at the Andy Griffin Show, so I constantly walking around. Yeah, dude. So I'm sitting there whistling, just watching like a good state employee watching Netflix on their computer. And fucking next thing I know, this dude is beating out the glass of this place. And I was like, the fuck is this old man's problem, you know? And I walk back there and he's, I'm going to fucking kill you. Blah, 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 blah. I was like, what the fuck, dude? You know? Like, because if he could get out of there, he'd absolutely whip a shit out of me if I didn't run. Because, like, I ain't squaring up with that one. I have been into a lot of fights. A lot of fights. And I'm telling you right now, I ain't fighting that old ass man. He'd kick his shit out of me. He's tough. That's a bad motherfucker, dude. He's in there for, I believe he was in there for a murder charge, but I can't remember. But I wasn't trying to find out.
So like, when and how did you decide to get into making content, dude? Why did you be like, yeah, I'm making a TikTok account?
You know what? So this TikTok account, the supervisor said what account, it's probably like my 10th account.
Okay.
I get banned a lot.
I don't know why.
dude, I troll the fuck out of people. And so, but when it came to this one, like, but I never really made this kind of content, like really like trying to go somewhere with it. But one day at work, dude, one of this real young whippersnacks, I'll tell you that story in a minute, but he's like 18 years old. And he's like, dude, you're fucking funny. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I knew I was funny, but like, you know what I mean? But like, dude, I had that kid in stitches all the time. And he's like, bro, you need to put this shit on the fucking internet. Like, at least TikTok, like, they'll love you. You're funny. And like, you're also a prick. Like, you just don't fucking care. You don't care what you say. And I was like, yeah, I mean, so like, I said, fuck it. Yeah, I'm gonna shoot for the stars on this. Cause I've always wanted to do podcasting, stuff like that. I'm a big history buff. So like I just started with comedy because that's what is super natural to me. And next thing I know, man, the fucking internet starts loving me, and which obviously made me feel good, you know? So I just kept going. And next thing I know, dude, it's just, this getting fucking unhinged. I'm over here with a fucking lipstick shaped like a dick, putting it on my fucking.
I saw that.
I seen that shit when I was scrolling and I was like, oh, let's not just buy one. Let's buy two of those. You know,
yeah, I gotta get me one of those.
Yeah, so like there's nothing, and like the funny thing, and all the guys I've worked with, they know me. They've known me either the guys in management either trained me or I trained them. You know what I mean? Like they've known me forever and they know exactly who I am. They've seen my wiener so fucking much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I have normalized. I had a friend of mine tell me, he's like, somehow you have normalized jacking off in front of people. Like, I don't know how the fuck you've done it, but like I can walk in the room, see you beating your fucking meat, and I'll be like, there's John jacking his shit off. You know? Like it's just and like I've got so many good stories that involve my wiener. And what's crazy is I have never once been reported to HR, not once. And I have done some fucked up shit. I have. And I got most of it on video.
What? Really?
Oh dude, there's always, somebody's always got their camera out. And next thing I know, man, I'm getting my video. They're sending the videos to me, and I'm like, Jesus.
You gotta send me one.
I am working on trying to get my hands on the video where I got the nickname John Dick in the Box. I'm hoping somebody, one of the guys that I work well, that crew, somebody still has it because that was from like, Lord, 8 years ago. But God, does that that was one of my favorite ones.
You can't talk to me this much about your dick, and I don't see a video of this happening.
Oh, dude, I straight up fucking see. Hell, you can subscribe to my OnlyFans and see it.
You got an OnlyFans? You got one?
You damn right I do.
Fucking right you do. Holy shit. Where can we find you on OF?
Unbothered_bluecollar.
I love that. And the blue-collar part of it probably is what draws the dudes in, too, right? Dude,
apparently, so that community, I didn't know they had a name for me, but I guess I'm considered a bear.
You'd be a bear. Yes, you'd be a bear. Yeah.
Oh, I see you. I see you know something about this.
Oh, brother, I've made money off that side of the internet, dude.
Yeah.
Oh man, I've had a couple guys reach out to me and be like, "Hey, man, how much would you charge for some private content?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know." And he's like, "Well, $100." I'm like, "Add a zero to that, and I'm in." You know.
I'm out here fucking $10 for pictures of my asshole. I don't give a fuck.
Buddy's like, "Well, that's a lot." And I'm like, "Well, you're paying for my humility at this point, right?" So fucking, yeah. So he's like, "All right, I'm in. Fuck it. He wanted me to jerk off in a porta potty," which he underestimates my willingness to do this in a porta potty.
I do that for free.
Black, dude. Yeah. Nature calls, I go, you know.
I forgot to put the lock over one time on site. And the fucking one of the salesmen just happened to be out there and busted me. And he opens the door and like I was chill because like I am so used to people seeing me with my dick out. I'm fucking full fucking cock, you know. And I'm just fucking. He opens it up. And he's like, "Oh," and I was like, "Stop." He goes, "Shut the door back, dude. This is awkward. Come on now." And I was almost there. And the whole community. You know, the gay community has been fucking awesome to me, man.
They've
been
nothing but nice.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Dude, they've been great to me. I've obviously, you know, I've got several friends and some family members that are gay. So, like, you know, I'm used to being gay. It doesn't bother me. I'm super comfortable with my sexuality. I go to fucking gay bars. I don't give a shit. You know
Shout
what I mean? Like, I have
brother.
A good
Shout
time.
Yeah, he's gay.
Yeah, I love it, man. They're good to me. They've Hell all yeah. treated me good.
Dude, you know why gay dudes have like long schlongs? It hit me. My brother's got a 12-inch hammer on him. I've seen it. I haven't measured it, but we've seen it, right? You know,
you could take a good guess.
Yeah. You know, I'll never eat a Subway sandwich ever the same again, you know? So So you know why most gay dudes have long wieners, right? Like, so a female's like cervix, or I think it's called a cervix. You know, a vagina, it only goes like, it's only like four-ish inches deep, four to 6 inches deep, right? But an asshole is 22 miles in length, man. So if you got a gay dude, you know, he's only getting like fucking a quarter of his peen in there, right? But you get a gay dude with another gay dude, man, he can fucking,
you can't take
him enough, right?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
More power to him. Hell, my dad used to always say, he said, "Boy, I could be gay. You know, sit around, hang out with your buddies, drink beer, whatever." He says, "It's just that fucking part I can't do." That's it.
Dude, and you know what? I'm going to show you something. This is a new part of this fucking program. I'm going to show you something, which I didn't think was real. And now that I know you a little bit more, it's real.
God, this is really awkward.
Yeah, you better not move, dude, because I am not lined up good. Oh, God.
You actually busted your dick out and had your buddy hold the bottle for you.
Yeah, 100%. So that's my boy, Jake.
Yeah, I've seen you talk about him quite a bit.
Yeah, me and him go way back. And I wish that was, you know, the most gay thing I've ever done, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like, I've done everything but fuck a dude. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a shit.
What do you mean everything but fuck a dude?
There's been no oral, no sex, but like, let me tell you this one story.
Okay.
I never had any sexual relations with a man, but I've done some fucked up shit. We were drunk as fuck this one time. And have this buddy of mine, we called him Too Tall Wrecking Ball Paul. He's like 8 foot tall, dude. Massive fucking dude. Like fucking 400 pounds. And me and him, every time we fucking drink, we end up in a fist fight. And usually because I do something stupid to him. And he's outside, and he's fucking pissing. And I fucking sneak up behind him, and I reach my hand between his legs, and I slap his piss up in his face.
Oh,
he beat the fucking shit out of me. His fist is the size of my chest. Like, he fucked me up. But it never fucking deterred me, man. Every time we drank, I'd start fucking with him. We broke so much fucking furniture. But I'm just super comfortable, man. I'll do just about anything for a laugh, anything for a story.
Do you do Zen?
I don't like the Zens, but I used to use the Rogues.
I learned today that one out of every two people use Zen orally or rectally. One out of it's all really cool. One out of every two people use Zen rectally.
I didn't see that on the directions.
I don't see that shit on the directions either.
But I'm gonna try it out, see how it works out.
Apparently it works really good, man. So I listened to the Theo Von podcast and he had Tucker Carlson on there the other day, right? And Tucker Carlson started his own nicotine pouches, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he came up, he's part of that thing now. And he was like, yeah, one of every two people are using Zen pouches or nicotine pouches rectally, dude. It threw me off. He's like, you would have no idea how popular this is, right? And he's like, it's dangerous because you forget how many you've stuck up there when you go stick another one up there. And I'm like, dude, trust me, I'm keeping track of everything I'm shoving in my butt, you know?
I'm not putting a whole lot of things up there, so.
Yeah.
It's easy to keep count of.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Usually just five fingers in my wife's tongue, right?
Right. Listen, let me tell you, if you ain't fucking getting a finger in your ass while you're about to fucking explode, you're missing out.
Dude, I just learned this for the first time this year. My wife milked my prostate for the first time. Bro, dude, she felt shit in there, though, and that always throws me off, you know? Like, she's like, I got to wash my fingers. She goes away, comes back. I'm like, why do you have to wash? She's like, I felt poop. And I'm like, nope, full stop. Right now, every night I go when I go home, the first thing I do is I jump in the shower. Right?
Yeah.
I clear it out. I clear it out. I have a shower and then.
You douche your butthole?
No, I should though.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have your tongue or somebody's tongue down there, it's the least you can do.
Yeah, my wife don't care. She's like, you like it, so.
Oh man, dude! I remember the first time I had mine fucking licked. I was like super against it because, like, you got to be in a vulnerable position for that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how you do it, you're going to be exposed, right?
I'm either face down, ass up, or I'm on my back and my legs are spread.
Dude,
man.
On the back, I love it. And then they pull your shit down and fucking. I'll be your little slut for that. I will.
You know what? I don't mind being the femme in this relationship right now. You know?
Yeah, like, I'm cool with that. Give me fucking 20 minutes of that. I'm fine.
Bro, like fucking milking your prostate, the fucking out of body experience you get from that. Oh my God.
First time, dude. So the story about the first time I ever had a finger in my ass. This was a long time ago, but had this, I was with this chick, and wasn't really with her. It was just kind of a rando, you know? And she didn't speak great English. Like, she did enough to, like, you know, understand her, but sometimes some things would, you know? And I don't even remember what I asked, but, like, she was giving me that's what that was. Now I remember. Yep. I don't know if I should tell that story, actually.
Now you gotta, bro. Now you gotta. You can't leave us on the hook.
All right. Well, again, so to reiterate, dude, this has been a minute ago. This has been a long time ago. So I was at this Jack Shack.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, that story's coming back to me now. So this I'd never even been into Asian massage shop. I've never been to a massage place. And my shit was like, I've got a really bad back. And I was like, I'm going to get a massage. So I get a massage. And next thing I know, man, she like got hot oil on my wiener. And I was like, well, I don't hate it. You know, so I'm just going to go with this. And this Asian girl, I swear to God, if I could get hand jobs like that the rest of my life, I'd never want pussy again. Okay. This Asian girl had the fucking hands of 1,000 pussies on her. Insane what she could do with her hands.
Holy shit.
The massage was shit, but the handy, whoo, fuck. And there was a little miscommunication here. I think I was trying to ask her for like head or something. And she just fucking, and I was like, hey, oh shit, keep going, fuck. And like, I know my veins had to be just out bulging out of my fucking neck. And the next thing I know, dude, that's like a 200 mile an hour shot whizzing past my fucking face. And I'm just locked up tighter than a virgin's ass. So I'm just fucking, you know, fucking. And since then, I will seek that out. I am looking for a finger in the butt.
I like that. Put that on your dating profile.
The fucking hands of 1,000 pussies.
I asked, man. I fucking asked. Hey, you said you shouldn't, and I said you should, and that's what it's,
you did this to me.
I did.
You did.
Fuck, man, listening to you talk, dude, like, I think you've been talking, like, you know, about your podcast that you're starting here, right?
Right.
I think you're going to have a pretty incredible podcast, man. You share your stories. Don't leave that out. You got to share it. Right? Like, man, like, well, what are you going to call this thing? When's it going to start? What are you going to call it?
I've been throwing out a couple of names. The problem is my ADHD gets the best of me and I always forget. I'm not quite there on that. I know the content. The content's in my head. Obviously, it's a lot of life stories. I do intend to throw in a fair amount of funny history moments. Like, I watch a lot of The Fat Electrician. I love that dude. I love the way he presents the information. And like, I've been hooked on him since day one forever now.
I don't think I've heard of him. I don't think
his history episode. Well, all this shit's history, military related, but like the way he presents it is so good. He's so funny. He's very, entertaining. I mean, he really just catches you quick, and like he's funny. He's a solid dude. He just seems like one of the bros, like you and me, you know. Check his shit out. Big fan of that dude. But
did you see my picture? Speaking, it's the ADHD kicking in. Did you see my picture where, you know, you're all about the dicks? Did you see my picture of the snowman I built last week
No, I didn't see it.
You didn't see the hairy bush on that snowman last week?
No, let me see some bush.
Holy shit, man. I'll show you this picture, man. Like, fucking right here, man. Fucking.
We get in trouble now on pad for building snowmen, so.
Oh, bro, dude, no, we were cleaning up a spill. There was a spill on the side of a road in a river somewhere. I shouldn't have said in the river, but it was in the river. And we fucking were cleaning it up, and fuck, there was, you know, I was taking my break because there was four of us there, and fucking I needed to go warm up, and the other guy came, and the other guy on the other side of the river, he's like, I'm also going to go warm up, but also not go warm up. So we went down to where, you know, we could meet each other, and we just started making a snowman. And, you know, I added my glasses and my hard hat, and he added the peen, and he found some pussy willow and added that. And then we gave him the mustache, and we're like, fuck yeah.
Just a work of art.
Just a beautiful work of art.
Yeah. I don't know why, but when you said something about the bush there, that reminded me also of a story. Oh. And which of a story I don't actually remember, because I was fucked up for it. But one, somehow I ended up with a fat chick tattooed on my ass cheek. Which to this day, I have no idea what the real story was behind that. The dude that done it is in prison now. So like, I don't, can't even ask him, but I ended up with a fat chick tattooed on my ass cheek. And then I ended up with my cock pierced twice. And, yeah, dude, that was fucking, which was super cool because, so like the dick piercing, it was the Jacob's ladder, you know, how it goes like under your, like not through your dick, but just the skin on the bottom. Yeah. It's called the Jacob's ladder, which my, I don't have a big dick, so like I call it the Jacob step stool. And but that was cool for me because I've never had a big dick. So like the healing process, you know, it swelled up a little bit. So it looked like I'd fucked a beehive, really. So like I've got like 300 pictures of my dick at like every angle because I was just so happy that it finally looked like a fucking pop can. Dude, I sent those pictures to every motherfucker in my contacts list.
Like, I call this shit. What's your nickname? What's the nickname for your peen there? What your dick? Whatever.
You know, it's been given some names, but I don't think I've ever named it.
I call mine Mjolnir, right? It's Thor's hammer. Right. only those that are worthy can touch it, right? And so, you know, like I've been able to lift it, my wife's been able to lift it. You know? But, yeah.
Okay, dude. So it's just because you're allowed to touch it, not because of the size or weight.
Oh yeah, no, it's small enough anybody could lift it, you know. But like, it's fuck.
Yeah,
you got to be special, you know. You got to be a special
relatable.
Person.
That's relatable. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you gonna call? So you don't know what you're gonna call this thing?
No, you're right though. I think I do need to. I don't know though. But I put that little bastard through hell throughout the years, that's for sure.
Oh, no, I was talking
I put about it in a fucking I put like it in a fucking fuck. Oil pan one time and got it like semi stuck.
Dude, why was it in an oil pan?
Somebody said, "Hey John, put your dick in that." And I was like, "I bet." You know? I actually called off work one time. And it's when I worked at the prison and the lieutenant answered and I was like, "Hey dude, I got to call off." And he's like, "All right, why?" And I was like, I got my dick stuck in a shampoo bottle. So, like, he didn't even say shit. Question. He's like, all right, man. And he hung up.
All right. Cool. Yeah. Hey, man. So, like, I was talking about your podcast. You don't know what you're calling the podcast? And when do you want to start that thing? Like, when are you looking to start?
So, I'm finishing up the building. I'm hoping to have it done. Should have it done before I go back out this week. I want to get everything set up pretty good. You know, I got to finish some wiring and, getting my decor set up. Other than that, mostly ready to go, other than I need to name it and just the little things that go with it.
Called Little Dick and Big Hands.
Little Dick and Big Hands. I don't know about that either. I don't know. They are pretty decent sized paws. Yeah. Which just sucks because it just makes my dick look smaller.
Call the podcast Dick Exposure.
Dick exposure.
Something like that. Man, like what do you plan on doing on that thing? Like what are you gonna like interview style? You're gonna do some solo episodes.
So here's my thing. Like if you go down through my TikTok page, you can see my content can get all over the place. And I'll probably do that. Like I definitely want to do oilfield related content, oilfield humor, the stories, but also like you know, I'm not like just a total fucking idiot. Like I know some things, you know? So like, I feel like I can definitely hit a lot of different categories and present it in a good way. That way I'm not just stuck on one thing specifically. Yeah. Primarily comedy is what I'm after. You know, that gritty oil filled humor. That's just unleashed, you know, that's going to be the main selling point of it. And I'll work that into probably every episode, no matter what it's about.
What I do,
I intend to hit the witch talk shit, you know, the witchy shit. I'm going to talk about that stuff. I'm going to talk about the fucking oil field history. Interviews.
Without getting too much into it, I guess, what is with the witch talk shit? What's going on?
So I was out on location and I was just scrolling through TikTok. And this has been, I don't know, let's just say 10, 12 days ago. I was just scrolling, nothing serious, you know, and I come across this lady, I said it in a video, she had a hell of a hook line and she had big boobs. So I stopped and I was listening and I got in the comments of it. And I can't remember what her video specifically was, but the blue comment was directions to a money spell. So I was like, shit, let me find out. Let me read that. So I was just, and you got to remember at this point, I had no belief system at all in that. Yeah. So I'm just reading it. Very unbiased, just wondering what these steps are. And the like last sentence of it was to let the candle burn out, don't blow it out, or something like that. But anyway, just talking about a candle going out. And dude, all at once, I just smelled like you just blown out a candle. Now, this is on location. That smell doesn't exist out there. That's not it. Yeah. And so I stopped dead in my tracks and I look at this young guy beside me, new guy, and I was like, do you smell like the smell of a candle like going out? And he was like, Yeah, man. And like, we got like three or four good whiffs. There was him and one other guy. We both smelled it. Jake was out there. And everybody smelled it. And I was like, that's fucking, that's just got to be me. You know, I'm just in my head. You know what I mean? Well, the next, I get off work, I go to the hotel and I go to sleep and I wake up and there's like, there was unexplainable money in my Cash App. There was money that the engineer just randomly threw money at me. And like, I went to go give it back to him and I just keep it. And I was like, what? Now, like, you can call that stuff coincidences, whatever you want to call it. But the fact of the matter is I said those things, I smelled the smell and the money started coming. All in all, over $300 came to me in 24 hours.
Shit.
And it was all random. Like, all like, what the fuck? Like, I understand you found a fucking nickel or something, but like, bruh. So, like, I started digging into it a little bit, reading up on it. And then, like, I kind of got in my head and freaked myself out. So then I made that video, put it on TikTok. And, dude, first of all, huge shout out because so much good has come of this. And I'll tell you about it. These witches on TikTok just like started flooding me with all this information, all this stuff. Well, that led to another video, how a psychic reached out to me and like she starts explaining to me about a man that I've never even met, who was my grandpa, but he died underground in the coal mines from a heart attack before I was ever born. And like she's like, hey, this guy came to me. I seen him in your video. He was, she explained the smells and like what he looked like and stuff. And she's like, he showed me a boat out on the lake, all this stuff. Well, there's only one person in my family that's ever had a boat. And I already know which lake they were talking about. Same lake we've always went to my whole life. So, like, then she gets into, she like, all at once, she's like, these things come to me fast, so just bear with me. And she's like, he showed me a wreck, and I heard a motorcycle. And I was like, that's fucked up, because, like, I was in a motorcycle wreck. This lady pulled out in front of me, and I hit her at, like, 40 mile an hour. And I didn't even lay the bike down. Like, the bike bounced off the truck and it went right past the truck after I hit it. And I drove it on down the bottom of the hill, turned around, came back up the hill. City cop witnessed it all. And she's like, yeah, it could have been a lot worse. He said it should have been a lot worse, but he was there. He protected you, all this stuff. So then she's like, who in your house has, you know, food allergies? Which we have food allergies in the house. She said, who's got the stomach issues? My youngest boy, Barrett, the one that's autistic, he does. And she's like, I sense that he has, issues academically, which he does. He's the only child I have that struggles in school, which he's incredibly smart. He just doesn't do good on paper with schoolwork. And he does a lot better. He does 100 times better when I'm home. You know, he's a daddy's boy. And she's like, it's his nerves, man. Like the kid just wants you home or, you know what I mean? Like they, and like, I got into my emotions on that. That one hurt my feelings. Yeah, not saying I didn't need to hear it, but like, I ain't gonna lie to you, dude. I sat on the edge of that bed, just kind of teared up a little while. That one fucked me up a minute, but like, and what's even crazier. So like Barrett, he's 6. He shits himself couple of times a day. You got to clean him up. Like it's
me too.
Yeah, but dude, ever since I came home this time, he has went to the potty. He ain't had an accident yet. He has not had a single, and this has never happened. Every day, 2, 3, 4 times a day, this set of days off, ever since I come home, he comes running out. I pooped in the potty, dad. And I'm like, dude, I've been like happy tears hugging this kid, just so like, because like with everything that happened with the whole witchcraft thing or whatever. And then like this, like, I ain't saying you got to believe it. I'm just saying it's fucking wild, ain't it? Like, you know?
So like that's wild.
I've never been a man of coincidences personally.
No, dude.
Say that. And so like, as far as like religion goes, I'm not a religious person. I believe religion just causes wars and it causes division. And that's the problem. Organized religion, I believe, has always been a problem. And the people that I grew up, like the church I went to growing up, they're solid folks. I'm not saying anything bad about them. You believe what you choose to believe, but I've never felt like that's where I belong. And I've always said I'm spiritual. I'm not religious. And like all these crazy things that's always happened to me, I've never paid attention to. Like, I just kind of assumed like a lot of this stuff. And come to find out, this shit don't happen to everybody, you know?
Maybe it's because you pulled your dick out.
Yeah. I think it might be. I don't know. I'm hearing it's the beard. They're like, how did you not know you're a witch with a beard like that or a wizard? I was like, hell, I don't know. Maybe you're
a wizard. Harry.
I don't know. You know the story about in the Bible about Samson and his after he cut his hair off, he lost all of his power.
Well, shit. I got no power, I guess. Hey,
like, right. Oh God, look at him. So I don't know, man. So that's basically where that's at. I am actively kind of still, I don't really want to participate in the whole spells thing. I'm not saying it ain't true and I'm not downing anybody, but like, it's not where I feel okay with. However, I will say since that's happened, I've started meditating a lot, like a lot.
Meditating and, or masturbating? Sorry, what?
Yeah, both. I mean, you can do both at the same time.
But hey, masturbating is kind of meditation.
I feel better after both.
I feel better. Yeah.
I sleep like a baby after it.
It don't hurt when I walk, you know?
But like, seriously, my whole mindset is really started kind of changing. Like I don't feel that depression in the back of my head just from meditating. So it's more for me about focusing on my energy, the positiveness behind it. And like, I do feel better. I really do.
That's good.
So I've stuck with that. And I'm going to continue to kind of see that out and see where that leads. I'll be updating along with my TikTok and eventually my podcast. And like I said, before we started this, I'm going on another podcast to talk specifically about this stuff.
Yeah.
And really kind of get into depths with this fellow with it. It's I'm excited for that as well. This guy seems pretty knowledgeable about the topic. So maybe he'll figure something out.
I want to listen to that one, man. I think it's
going to be cool, man.
When you do that and it comes out, you let me know, man, because I want to listen.
I'll shoot you a text with the name of it. But for everybody else that's viewing, it's the name of the podcast is Behind the Pines.
Behind the Palms.
Yeah. Which, right. When I was growing up, Behind the Pines is where you went to get your ass beat. But
hey, man, in camp where I'm at,
nothing magical about that. I know that. You know?
Where Behind the Palms is where my dick is, you know?
It usually is. Yeah, you're right. But yeah, so that's what that was all about.
You were saying about the beard, man. How do you guys get away with that in the U.S., man? In Canada, we're not allowed to grow anything past our jawline.
They wouldn't have a single fucking worker out there if they did that dumb shit.
I'm not allowed to have my beard, man. My mustache is actually too long.
I actually, I went out on a job down in Texas, and there are several companies down there that want you to shave. And I showed up and they're like, hey, that shit's got to, you got to cut, that shit's got to go. And I was like, I'll just go. I don't need your fucking money. Bye. You know, I got on a fucking airplane. Fuck you, dude. They sent me to a different job that didn't care about it. But I'm not, dude, I don't have a fucking chin. I got no fucking chin. I look like a bitch without my facial hair.
I wouldn't be able to work a ratchet strap properly.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude, I still look 13 when I shave this shit off. I've got beautiful skin, but like, and I constantly get asked, you know, hey, what do you use on your beard? And to answer that, if anybody's wondering, it's going to watch this shit, I don't use anything. Like I literally just fucking cheap ass shit, hotel shampoo, conditioner, and I blow dry. That's the only thing I do.
Semen.
We don't talk about the secret.
Hey, dude, do you know what viscosity is?
Yeah. Yeah. You took me a minute. You're going to get fancy with the words here.
What's viscosity in your own words?
I'd rather you not call me out like that, actually.
The podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, and the Mudman deals in viscosity, right? He deals in the viscousness of the mud going down hole in the rig, right? Yeah, so the Mudman, man, he sponsored the podcast. The first sponsor we ever had on the podcast. And, you know, episode 14 or whatever. This is like 157, I think it is, or 156. But, man, episode 14, he reached out, man, and he got us a headset and a mic. And we rocked the shit out of that for a while. And two summers ago now, he reached back out. And he's like, well, how can we make the podcast better? And I couldn't edit worse shit. Right. And the mic and the headset were kind of dying a little bit. He sponsored the podcast with a MacBook Pro. And that's what I record on and I edit on. And yeah, dude. Yeah,
badass.
Man. Yeah, man. It is pretty badass. I love the Mudman, you know, www.mudmanmarket.com. And
I'll check that shit out.
Fuck yeah, man.
In all fairness, dude, I think I've been on like 3 drill rigs. I do wireline. We do completions.
Yeah,
I don't see that shit. But actually, I've got a couple I had one guy I went to school with. He was a mud engineer for a long time. He's a company man now. And then there's a girl on TikTok that I follow. She's pretty badass. She's a, if I remember correctly, I do believe she's also a mud engineer as well.
Oh, what's her name?
I am trying to think of that. Something Diva. Maybe it's Mud Diva, maybe. I have to go. I can't remember. I haven't seen her pop up in so long now. But, like, every time I do see her, she's funny, man. I like her. She's always got good comments.
Yeah. Things like that. I'll check her out, man. I'll find her.
She's cool. She's cool. I'll send her to you once we get off here. I'll send you her profile. But, yeah, she's a badass chick, seems like. I've never met her, but she's cool. She's friendly.
Fuck yeah,
but, yeah, so I try to personally. Every once in a while, we have to go out on rigs for, like, fishing jobs and shit like that, or work over rigs. But even then, like, we're still running and gunning 90% of the time when a workover rig's there. It's like, I ain't even paying attention to those guys. I've talked to them a few times. There have been a few times they've tried to get me to come work for them. And I was like, I don't know, man. Wireline's pretty cake, and I don't want to start over at the bottom.
Yeah. I before I got into vac truck stuff, because I've been on the vac now. I was here for 7 years. I left for a year, and now I'm back. Got injured at work, and they fucked me over.
Yeah, I've seen that, dude.
I'm back. Yeah, yeah, man. Hey, dude, I learned from those comment sections that that happens to everyone. If you get injured, they just throw you away, right? And whether you're good to go or not, they don't care. You got injured here. See you later, bud. But yeah, so I wanted to get into wireline. I was doing the whole frack check. I worked at frack check, frack fuelers, refuelers,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yep.
I was doing that for a while, and I was on site networking. I was connecting with everybody, and I kept coming back to the wireliners, right? I'm like, man, I want to do this, right? And you know, those fuckers make money in their sleep, dude. You know, they get
paid. We literally get paid while we're at the hotel.
Absolutely, man. Because you get a percentage of the ticket, right, that day. So I was like, I want in on this, right? And Buddy was going to hook me up. But, you know, the writing was on the wall. The oil patch was getting ready to start, you know, shit in the bed. And, you know, well, with that, drilling comes to a stop or slows down. So frack comes to a stop and slows down. So all the services do as well.
Yeah. Eventually it all rolls downhill.
But one thing that's always running is the vac truck, right?
Yep.
Always, right? You need, there's always a mess to clean up. There's always something going on. There's always
somebody fucks up somewhere all the time.
Always. So I was like, you know what? I'll revisit the wireline thing another time. But right now, the smart play is the vac. So I got in that, and man, it has paid off in dividends, right? Like, you know, but you know, I think it's getting around that time now, you know, where I'm trying to get out of it. If leaving last year wasn't obvious. But you know what? I'm trying to get out of it. And I think, you know, it's time to revisit wireline, you know.
With you saying that, let me tell you a couple of things then. So when I got into it a decade ago, which I guess in, you know, retrospect really isn't that long, considering people are out there for 50 plus years. But So when I got into it, you know, the stories in the patch, everybody, well, when I got into it, it wasn't like this. Yeah. And I get it. That's how, you know, when I got into it, a fucking, you know, a 10 gun string, building a 10 gun string, you had to wire it up. You had to cut the deck cord. You had to fucking crimp the dets on. You had to put shape charges in. Like, you had to literally build from scratch these gun systems. And God forbid it didn't test right when you'd fucking check the gun to make sure it was good, your insulation, continuity, all that shit. Then you got to tear the whole fucking thing back down and figure out where the fuck your it takes some time. You know, it was time consuming. And like, if you're on a job that's doing, you know, 8 to 10 stages a day, dude, you're hurting at the end of the shift. You're fucking tired. And so now fast forward to the systems that we all run, that some of the companies run. Like where I'm at, we run a pin-to-pin system. There is no more wiring. There is no more any of this shit. Like, it all comes ready to rock and roll. All I got to do is put a detonator in it, screw it together, and it's ready to fucking go. Even the setting tools, the plugs and shit, you know, Baker 20, the shorty setting tools, the compacts, you know, those can be a little Not that they're super time consuming, but like, you know, it still takes a little bit of time. I was just out on a job where they brought out these other setting tools, these disposable setting tools. They come out pre-built. Only thing I got to do is put a power charge in them and a igniter and, you know, on the firing head and screw it on. So that now a whole gun and the fucking setting tool, I can have all that out on the ground, slapped together, ready in fucking 10 minutes. You know, shit, what used to take you at least 30 plus minutes, sometimes longer, depending on who you was working for. Now I can do it in 10 minutes. So while, you know, as soon as you get your stations done, you're done. You don't have anything else to do. I can sit in a fucking lawn chair in the gun trailer for the next hour and a half on TikTok fucking off. You know what I mean? I can go to the porta potty and jerk my shit. You know what I mean? So like it's all around a way better experience now. Stage prices aren't as good as they used to be, but considering how much work I don't have to do now, it's worth it to me.
Yeah.
I love it. I'll probably never get out of wireline just because it's a good trade-off, man. It is. And don't get me wrong, we still make good money. We do. The stage bonuses are still there. We get day rates. So we get paid for my crane being out there. I get a stage, or I get a day rate, a percentage of that ticket for my crane that's out there. Same thing with the perf, your rig lock systems, generators, all that shit. I get a percentage of all of our equipment out there. Plus, I get a percentage of every stage shot. Plus, I get a percentage of every stage shot while I'm at the hotel asleep.
So, you know what I mean? What would you say you make in a 24-hour period as a wireliner?
So, that varies significantly depending on what job you're on.
A good day, a good job, you know.
Like, you're asking math that I'm just not good at. It's 1%. It's 1% of the ticket price. So, like, you know, the cranes, I don't know, usually somewhere between $10,000, $11,000 a day is what's charged for the crane. So, I get 1% of that. I get 1% of the stage price, which stage prices are usually, I don't know, anywhere from like $2,500 to $5,000. So I get 1% of that, would depend on what job you're on, what setup you're running. So there's 1% of that, and you're usually shooting at least 4 to 8 stages a shift, plus your opposite shift, whatever they shoot, you get a percentage of all that.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. It's really hard to answer that question, but like my bonus checks, they pay out on the 15th of every month. And those might, like this year, I don't think I've seen one below $3,000 on a bonus check. And there for several months, dude, I was at $4,000, $5,000 every fucking month. Plus we get another bonus, a profit sharing bonus, which is usually like another $600 to a grand more. Plus per diem, plus they pay for the hotels, you know? So like, it's a good deal. And honestly, like the workload, especially nowadays with all the technology, cause like we're using AI software shit too inside the trucks. So like considering how much work we're not doing, like it's, like when I started out as a green hat, I was only making $13 an hour and only getting a 0.25% bonus. And that first company I was with, I was only with them for like, I don't know, 8 months. And I'd already made over $70,000 in 8 months at $13 an hour. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Yeah.
That's yeah. Wild.
The money is there. The money's in the wild. And like, the thing is it's just long hours. You know what I mean? Because like you go on a rig up and rig down, dude, I have been out there for 30 plus hours straight at a time. You go out on like, you know, bond logs and shit like that, dude, you might be sitting out there for fucking 28 hours straight. You know what I mean? But you know, those are good, especially, you know, a lot of that day work's pretty good money, pretty good ticket price.
Absolutely.
So like, and again, yeah, it sucks, but it only sucks for 14 days and then I'm off for a week. So boom. I've got plenty of time to come home and reset. I got time to get everything I need to get done, plus still enjoy time. You know what I mean? So like, and you know, if I want to fucking jump ship and run out on vacation on a whim, I'm financially stable enough to do it.
Yeah, man.
It's a win. A lot of people, I couldn't be alone. And it is hard. We both know it is hard to be gone. I watched my kid take his first steps because my youngest boy, his first steps through FaceTime, while my oldest boy was teaching him, you know what I mean? Yeah, that fucking hurt, man, because that should have been me there. Don't get me wrong, I was proud of my oldest for teaching him. He taught him how to walk, talk, all kind of stuff. But it still hurt my fucking feelings, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. You're going to fucking give up shit that you don't want to give up. However,
we're going to give them a life that they wouldn't have otherwise, you know?
Right, right. And like around where I live, the only thing that I can make good money at is going back underground in the coal mines, and I ain't doing that dumb shit no more. I'm fucking over them boys work too damn hard. Fuck that. And don't get me wrong, they make good money, but they also work six to 7 days a week every fucking week. They get a day off once a week, you know what I mean? If that. No, man, I'm not fucking working to live. Fuck off.
What I like about the vac truck is I get to set my own schedule, right? I can stay in for 6 weeks at a time. I can stay in for 2 weeks at a time. I can stay for as long as I want, man, you know? And I used to stay, like I said, there was times it was 6 months, but then, you know, 4-6 weeks, right? I used to stay for. One thing that I'm very proud of with this podcast and my content is I started generating an income off of it. And now I stay 2 weeks. I make almost as much money online as I do at work.
First of all, congratulations, because I know that feels good to be able to go home.
It's hard. And not have to fucking work. It's a lot of fucking work, though.
That's, again, another big reason why I'm trying to do, you know, what you're doing, essentially. I want to take some of that stress out of it, you know?
I did the math on it the other day, and it was like one of my sponsors pays me $500 an episode. I do 4 episodes a month, sometimes 5, right? It's depending on how many Tuesdays are in that month. Another one pays $150, right? Fucking another one. Man, there's another thing. Man, you got Starlink on site where you're at?
Yep.
Man, an oil patch consultant, shout out to Tracy Chabot. He is a big listener of the podcast, and we became friends recently, like over the last 6-7 months, whatever it's been. And he's like, man, what does your podcast need? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where that's at. But as soon as I started talking in episodes, and he was listening, I was in spots with really shitty service and talking about Starlink, how I'm looking for one. And he sponsored the podcast with a Starlink. He bought the Starlink and he pays monthly for it. Right? Dude. There's value in that in itself. You know what I mean? And I get that shit on location, man. You know what I mean? I pop it out on top of the roof of the vac truck. And if I get ass time, man, you bet your ass I'm fucking sitting there playing on my phone on it. Right? And Starlink, dude, it feels almost unfair to my phone.
Yeah. Hey, dude, that Elon Musk shit works good.
Yeah, fucking Elon's the man, bro.
Dude, that fucking internet's top notch. Used it in California, out in the middle of the mountains, like hours away, in Texas, hours away from civilizations, out in the mountains of West Virginia. That shit works everywhere.
Yeah, man.
And for the price, it's a little pricey, but like considering it always fucking works.
Yeah, always. I haven't had a moment where it hasn't worked. You know what I mean? I tried to use it in the condo in the basement here. They had us in camp. They got rid of their camps. I was in that camp for 7 years. They got rid of that camp, put us in a condo. Way less depressing, way more productive. Yeah. I'm way happier here. I've tried to put it in the window, but there's an awning there and it doesn't, it's blocked, right? So it doesn't work in here, but it works out on location. It works out on a truck somewhere. You know what I mean? So I love that thing. So shout out to Tracy Chabot from Chabot Resource Management, man. The guy's an oil patch.
Badass, Tracy. Badass. Yeah, man.
Just helped the podcast. That was so fucking much, dude.
Solid.
Man.
That's what I talk about all the time out here, man. People, and not just for work, but out here in this industry, people don't understand how important it is to network. And it's not that you're trying to weasel your way in to use somebody. I mean, yeah, essentially that's, you know, what it is, but it's, you build a big friendship and it's just like, hey man, let me scratch your back and then I'll scratch yours when you need it. You know what I mean? It just, it always fucking comes back. I've had so many people just randomly help me for no reason. And then when I see them out there on location struggling, I'm like, hey shit, let me go take care of this dude, man. He showed up for me. I got to show. And next thing you know, you're boys. You know what I mean?
That's
all it takes. Come over here and suffer with me. And I will forever be grateful for you.
Come be in the trench and suffer with me, and we're brothers, you know? And that's sort of what the podcast has been about too, right? Like, you know, we're all blue-collar men and women on here, and we're sharing our stories and our struggles and, you know, what we go through. And we're building a community of blue-collar fucking soldiers, you know what I mean? Fucking, I know a guy named John who, you know, in fucking West Virginia. I know a fucking woman named... fucking Haley way down there. I don't remember where Haley's from, but she's got the Blue Collar Baddies podcast, and she was on recently. She's a spray foamer. I got fucking Tracy Chabot in my corner, who's a fucking consultant. Hey man, maybe he knows that, you know, I'm looking for a job, and someone he knows is right. Looking for someone that needs a job, yep. Right? And he's like, hey, I know you too. Yeah. Let's hook up. Let's go.
And the thing is when they come calling, you know, you go call like, hey man, I'm in a tight spot, need work, something. They don't hesitate. They do not hesitate. They will wake motherfuckers up in the dead of the night to get you taken care of, and then vice versa. Not that they feel like that you owe them one, but they also know at the same time that because of what they've done for you, you're going to have them. You're going to go out of your fuck. I will go 10 miles the wrong direction to help the right person. You know what I mean? Like somebody that came and scratched my back, I've got no trouble fucking.
Funny thing about you scratch my back, I scratch yours. The funny thing about my back is it's located on my cock, you know?
Yeah. Let me stroke. I mean, scratch that. Yeah.
Oh man. I love the camaraderie and the brotherhood that it you is. Build online even, right? The blue collar TikTok's a lot of fun, man. I see Tinkerly out there grinding. I see you out there. I see Powder Slayer out there grinding. I see fucking, you know, fucking, I don't know. There's thousands, hundreds of them. Lane Borley, you know, I see Torque Girl out there. I see fucking the Blonde Welder. I see all these blue collar folk out there grinding, doing their thing. And, you know, what's his name there? Fucking Grayson Magaha said, when I see a Dick Frost video, I smile because I know what he's trying to do. When I see a Blonde Welder video, I know what she's trying to do. When I see a Supervisor Say What video out there, I know what he's trying to do because I'm trying to do the same fucking thing, right? And, like, I'm there to support.
And you know what's great about all that is like, so, oh, real quick, it's Supervisor Said What, not Say What. But... Yeah. It's a listen, if they go searching me and can't find me, it's your fault. all right. Shit. You're fucking getting in the way of my back now, goddammit.
Fuck. Not bad. Let me change it.
but yeah, dude, that's the thing. Like, it doesn't feel like, yeah, there's a lot of us that do the content, that do the podcast, but it never feels like competition. No. You know what I mean? Like, it's always so – like, they're so encouraging and helpful and like, hey, man, I seen this – like, I've had guys reach out and be like, hey, I seen this video, you know, but, like, what if you done it like this instead? And I'm like, oh, shit, that's a great idea. Why didn't I do that?
Yeah. You know? I made a video yesterday where Buddy used that fucking Will Ferrell thing, was like, ooh, I'm kind of sweating. I'm kind of getting a little nervous, right?
Yeah.
I saw that guy did his video with his tanker. And it's like me getting up the nerves to go to the company man and tell him that I just broke my equipment, right? And I'm like, well, shit, I'm on site. And a big thing for me is, yeah, man, we don't circulate our water. It gets too cold. It freezes. And then they need us right away. Well, man, like I could use that too. I could just put my own little vac truck spin on it, right?
Yeah.
So I did that right away, right? There's a lot of videos out there, man, that like I see you do and other people do that I'm like, I want to do that. I'm mad I didn't fucking think of that, you know?
I'm going to tell you right now, if ever I post something and you're like, fuck, bro, I'm not, and a lot of us aren't like that, fucking use it, dude. Fucking do it. I don't feel like people are, I'm honored that somebody would want to use my shit like that, you know? Take my idea and make your own.
Well, if I see something of yours that I want to do, I'll save it and I'll do it months later or weeks later, right? I sat on a video for a year because I don't want to jack your algorithm either, right? Like you're getting okay, his is doing good. I'm going to take that, but I'll do it later on down the line when people have stopped watching that video for him. Let him collect the views on it. Then I'll throw my own thing on there, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll maybe also make it, maybe it'll shit the bed for me. Who knows? You never know, right? You don't know how the algorithm's going to work.
No. Dude, I had put out some fucking bangers that just fell on their face.
Yeah.
And I'm you pieces of shit. Damn it. The videos that blow up is like the stupidest shit. Me talking about my fucking wiener or some shit that I'm like, wow, that video really, oh my God, dude, the video about the grandma story, dude, that fucking blew. I don't know if you've seen that video.
I'm going to go watch it again because I don't remember.
I was driving while telling the story and I stopped the truck, got off the highway and I'm outside with vehicles going by giving a presentation of how I got caught jacking off. And like, it was fucking, That was a good, but that fucking video blew up way more than I ever could have anticipated.
I got a message this morning from someone after you and I were talking, right? Someone that's coming on the podcast here right away. Where'd she go? Oh, okay. Her name's Haley Ann, right? I had no idea she exists. She's got like 13,000 followers, right? She sends me this message, right? I just want to share this message. This is why I do the podcast, why I think you are going to do the podcast, right? She's like, hey, I just wanted to say I absolutely love your videos. I've watched them for a long time and they are the best. But recently I discovered your podcast and I fucking love that, dude. I love that, and it has really helped me. I am a high pressure pump truck operator from a service rig company in Northern Michigan. And I've really struggled trying to find the motivation to keep doing it lately. I've been in the field for 8 years. I got my foot in the door in water transfer out in Pennsylvania and haven't stopped since. But listening to the pod has helped me realize that there are people out there going through the same ups and downs that I am and not to give up. I had a bad ankle surgery last year. I tore all my tendons stepping out of my pump truck and I was laid up for 7 months with that injury. It drove me insane sitting at home to the point I was diagnosed with ADHD and severe anxiety and depression. Hearing you're dealing with mental illness currently makes me realize I'm not alone. So thank you for the amazing podcast. It's really helping more people than you probably even realize. And man, that's why I fucking do it. You know what I mean? I made the content to make me laugh. I made the content because I was dark. I was in a deep, dark hole. I needed to laugh. And I made the content to make me laugh. It was cool that it made other people laugh. The podcast, dude, I just need to talk. I needed to find more people like me. And I knew they were there by the content. And we got her done. And this year, man, I am more mentally clear this year than I've ever been. But I had to hit fucking rock bottom, dude. I was diagnosed with borderline or personality disorder, dude. I was bleeding all over people that didn't fucking cut me because of something my mom and my dad did fucking 30 years ago.
Relatable as fuck, actually. But
fucking dad continued to do over the fucking course of time. And because he was suffering and bleeding all over people that he didn't fuck, they didn't cut him, right?
But it comes to the point, man, you got to break those chains and this is it.
Dude, I don't want my daughters to sit in a therapy session 30 years from now and be like, my dad fucked me over.
Right.
And I can't. I don't want to
step up.
Yeah, man. And I don't want my daughters to have.
This is a great outlet for that. It is.
It truly is.
And like you said, when you get those, I have had countless messages and comments about, hey, man, a guy recently messaged me. And he told me, he was like, man, I've been in a bad fucking spot here lately mentally, just shit going on, kept going wrong or whatever. He's like, I'm not going to lie. He's like, dude, your shit just pulled me through that. Like, it broke me away from the bad for a little bit. And I just go watch your shit. And like, I feel a little, and he sent me that. Dude, and I get it because I've been there. I can't tell you how many times I've wanted this fucking end. You know what I mean? But and then like you said, I started making these videos just because I thought I was funny. You know what I mean? Like, and then it turns out I am fucking funny.
It turns out I'm fucking hilarious.
And now all this shit, like when people send you those heartfelt messages, that's not funny. That's just awesome. You know what I mean? You feel that as somebody that has also had some issues in their fucking life. Like, you know what? Thanks, man. Because like you just made my life better, making yours better.
Hell yeah.
I appreciate that you could open up and tell me that.
Hell yeah, man. And you know, like, I got therapy this year and I got BetterHelp to sponsor the podcast. We went on a 3-month run and I got free therapy out of it, man. And I fucking needed that shit, right? Dude, I learned a lot about myself. It brought lots of tears to me, man.
I have been on the fence. I've been on the fence with therapy. Not because I feel like I'm too masculine. It's just, you know, certain things that happen in life, you just don't know that if you're really comfortable or ready to talk. And the truth is, you're never ready. You just
need
to
do
it. You need just to need to do it. And
three sessions in with my therapist, man, is what it's how long it took me to be like, all right, let me lay it out. Let me be truthful with you, right? Like we've been talking for three sessions now. Here's what's happening. And he's like, man, that's fucking deep, bro. I'm glad you shared that because now I know where to start. Now I know how to help you. He's like, I can tell we were spinning in circles for three sessions, but I knew, you know, eventually it would come out, right? And it did, man. And you know what? Like, fucking, it was incredible. Shout out to Ian, man. I love that guy. Yeah, man. And Haley here, who sent that message, I followed her back right away. I sent her a message back. We got to talking a little bit, getting her on the podcast, man. I said this I was on another guy. You know who Powder Slayer is?
That name sounds awfully familiar.
He's in the oil field out west in America there in North Dakota.
I'll check him out.
Check him out. He's got good content, man. He started his own podcast. It doesn't come out till January, but he recorded episode one last night, and I got to record with him, man. And
badass.
It was cool being on someone else's podcast.
Hey, listen, 100%, you're coming on to mine.
Oh, yeah. I'll come all over you. I don't
know. Yeah,
it's happening, bro. But yeah, man, it was just, I love that shit. You know, like he's been on mine. He helped feed my baby. I'm going to help feed his baby. Yeah. And, you know, I told him straight up, man, when you start your podcast, I'll tell you straight up too, man. He's like, you're going to want, you go after the people with, you know, a following, get them, because they'll share it out and their people will see it and you'll mingle. But don't forget the small people. Don't forget the small creators with like 800 followers, 200 followers, 1,200 followers. Don't forget them, because they don't have the following, but man, they'll support your shit so fucking.
You aren't wrong. I was literally just in my own head a little while ago thinking about, you know, my next steps and all this stuff. And I got to looking, and I was going through all of my videos, watching, you know, like reading comments and everything. And I see the same people that's got they don't post anything, or it's just, you know, little things here and there. They're not out there for views or like what we're doing and stuff. And like, but like the foundation on my TikTok of supporters, is those small guys that have been nothing but a blessing to me.
It's the same like 50 people, man. You know what I mean?
Don't get me wrong. I understand the necessity behind the bigger creators and pushing your shit, but people underestimate the power of your foundation and what you build with the little guys.
You go live streams? Do you ever live stream?
Actually, I do off and on a little bit. Not a whole lot, just because, you know, life's life sometimes. So not a whole hell of a lot, but I do need to get back in. That would definitely.
We've talked about it. You know, your videos, they suck your your videos, right? They help you build a following.
Right.
But your live stream, no one knows who the fuck you are in a 30-second video, in a 20-second video, right? The live stream, you go live for an hour and a bit here and there, 2 hours, whatever. Your videos help you build a following. Your live streams help you build a community. Right.
You're right.
That's huge, man. And this podcast, same thing, dude. You know, it helps you build that community. You know how many people have said, man, your glasses, they're so douchey, and you just look like a douchebag, and you come across as a douchebag. But then when I get to know you and I get to go, you know, he's like, I hated you at first. But then I get to know you and I realize that's a character that you're playing. And, you know, then I listen to your podcast. Then I listen to your live stream. And I'm like, you're a family man just trying to pay the bills and fucking grind it out like the rest
of us. I'm a real motherfucker just like you, brother.
I'm here, bro, you know?
Yeah.
I'm fucking here. So, yeah,
you're right. And again, those were all topics of discussions I've had with several people. And even in my messages and comments, that people really do underestimate how powerful that little guy is. Because when your shit ain't fucking hitting, nobody's on your shit, that motherfucker still shows up for you. You know what I mean? Even if they don't like it, they're like, it's my boy. I got to help him out, you know? You know what I mean? They take care of you. They take care of you better than any fucking big one ever will. Like, don't get me wrong. Big ones will give you the exposure you need. But when it comes down to the nitty gritty, the little dude's going to be the one that still remembers who you was when you were small. So do yourself a favor and remember their fucking names and give them the praise they deserve when the time comes.
There's only a handful of people on the internet, the social media, that the ride here that I'm on, that still remember what my name was before I turned it to Dick Frost and why I turned it to Dick Frost. It was originally my real name, right? And people were finding my private Facebook account and adding me and calling me because my phone number was in there, right?
Oh, God, what the hell, man?
Yeah, it was dumb. and then, you know, but Dick Frost, the name Dick Frost actually, like, predates the social media ride, like, about a year prior to that, right? Yeah. So when I was like, what do I change this to, right? And then, boom, well, it's right there. I already have the name Dick Frost, right? I think more people follow for the name, right? I never had a mustache before I started the thing, man. I was baby face, you know. I was growing a little one once in a while, but I'd shave it, right? Yeah. And, you know, all the, you know, handlebar mustache, douchebag glasses, fucking.
Yeah. He's got the signature.
I chipped my tooth about a year prior to that too, right? I fucking took a wrench off the face and chipped the tooth, and that became part of the look too, right?
Yeah.
The dentist wants to fix it. No, you're not fucking
fixing it. It's the same as, you know, people I've had, not many, but like there's some videos of me on my TikTok where I don't have a beard. And there's, when I say there's some, there's like one, because I will never post another one. I can't take that. I can't take that hate. I got some serious shade thrown. They're like, what the fuck? I'm like, yeah, bitch, take off your makeup. Let's see what you look like. Okay. Listen, without a beard, I look like what you look like without makeup. Shut up.
Yeah. Hey, without this mustache, I look like you with the filter, you know?
Right. Yeah, quit fucking hating on me. I got feelings too, damn it. Shit.
Yeah, fuck but, you.
Yeah, the beard is literally the majority of my face. You know what I mean? Like, that's what people see when I can. And that's why when you messaged me, I was like, hey, dude, is this like video or is this, you know, just audio? And you're like, both. And I was like, well, I better go brush my shit, because right now it's all fucked up because I've been out here working and shit. And I was like, I can't go in there. Like, I am, if I go out in public, I don't give a fuck what I'm doing. Even if I'm not getting out of my truck, like, I'm fixing my shit, because, like, I'm not walking out with a shitty beard. Like, some days is better than others. But for the most part, I try to keep it pretty, because, one, it makes me feel good. You know what I mean?
That's all
you look, you feel good. You look good. You feel good. You work good. You know what I mean? I'm not out here to work to look like a supermodel, but I'm not going to show up to work looking like shit either. You know what I mean? Like, when I feel good, I work way better.
Oh, I do. Yeah. 100%. That's why I started drinking coffee and energy drinks. I've been in the patch 16 years. 15 of those I didn't drink coffee or energy drinks. I just started this past year, dude. I didn't know how, dude. I got severe ADHD probably too. You know, people with ADHD, because caffeine is a stimulant, right? It actually, if you got ADHD, it actually settles you down and helps you focus, right?
Yeah.
Man, dude, I've never felt so good, you know, when I started drinking the coffee and the
energy. Those prior years that you didn't, was it just like Coke, or did you just suffer?
I just suffered, bro. When I
remember when I got into the patch, I say the patch, that's, they don't really call it the patch here in America. That's a Canadian thing. It gets used a little bit here and there, but you really don't hear it that much. But anyways, it's I can remember seeing people fucking run lines on the safety man's truck. I'm glad that's not a thing anymore, because this job is dangerous enough. But like, it used to be, even just a decade ago, it was still pretty cowboy.
Just a decade ago, it was still really, man. One time I took this finger right here to the bone with a 5-foot crowbar and a sledgehammer. Mm-hmm. Right. This is like year one in the oil patch, right? I looked at it, I'm like, oh, I have a hand shaking and bleeding. I dumped fucking distilled water on it. I've never had water hurt something so badly. The safety guy looked at me. He watched it happen. He looked at me. He's like, you want to go to the hospital or you what? And I'm like, dude, you asking me or telling me, brother? And he's like, I'm asking. I'm like, no, I don't. Wrap it up and let's go, right?
Yeah, let's fucking get back to work.
Nowadays, fucking 16
years later, I'm going to the doctor.
Nowadays, 16 years later, he's forcing me to go to the doctor.
I'm going to willingly go.
I will willingly go now. Yeah.
So, dude, we are so much alike. It's wild. My very first hitch, right? My very first hitch in wireline. Now, wireline was my first oil field job. So, this is the first time in the oil field. My first hitch, I worked my days off, right? So, I worked my 2 weeks. Then I worked my week off. And then I had two more weeks of that before I got to come home. So, like, it was at least like 3 or 4 days before I went home. I had a nightcap, you know, the cap that goes on top of the well.
Yeah.
I had a nightcap get slammed into my finger by the crane. And this nightcap was a 200-pound nightcap. And my hand was on the well because I was a stupid fucking green hat and didn't have no fucking sense. And I was giving the crane man signals. and it was dark. So he couldn't see my hand where it was at to stop. It was my own fault. It was my fault. And I had to this day, up until right now, nobody's ever known about this injury. This finger right here, I cannot straighten it out. And I had actually dislocated all three of them and broke this one. And I worked for like 3 or 4 days with that broke finger. I popped the other fingers back into place, but I worked and never said a fucking word about it. Cause at that time you got fucking fired immediately. There was no questions asked. They'll take the lawsuit. They don't give a fuck. Like, you're gone. And, you know, I needed this job. I just gave up everything I knew for a better life. I'm not fucking this up. I'm manning the fuck up and I'm going to work this fucking job because my fucking family needs me to, you know what I mean?
When I first started here, man, I was on a hydrovac boom. It was actually fucking the same job I started my fucking content on, dude. I started my content probably like 3-4 days prior. And I'm outside and we're sucking a flock tank, right? And fucking we got the hydrovac boom out for on the boom truck. And there's a delay in the switch, right? There's a delay in the thing. And I'm booming out and telling it to go down. It's not going down. And I'm just fucking pressing the button, right? So finally, I reached out to push it, and the delay fucking pushed it in, and it came down, and the roller where the fucking where the hose meets the roller got my hand in between the railing and the roller, right? I fucking busted out. It was minus 30, right? I didn't feel a fucking thing, but I did get real nauseous. I was in shock, right? I was like, oh, I don't feel good. And the guy working with me, he's like, you want to go say something right now? Let's go say something. I'm like, no, we're getting kicked off site if this happens. And our boss is so fucking mad, right? Fucking, I kept working throughout the rest of the day. And I fucking, you know, had to fucking, you know, the wing nuts on the back truck. I had to fucking, you know, use both hands, right? The next day, this hand was like fucking swollen, right? And my boss saw me in the wash bay. And I'm washing, the pressure washing the truck off. And he looks at my hand. He's like, bro, you all right? And I'm like, I don't want to talk right now, man. If I talk, I'm going to puke, right?
Yeah. He's like, you can't acknowledge the pain.
Yeah. He's like, you want the day off? That hand don't look too good. He's like, what happened? And I'm like, I'm good. Let's go to work. Just stop talking, right? And fucking, I never said anything about it again. Never got it looked at ever. And, you know, like every now and then I can feel like when I'm playing with my hand here, you could feel like the nerve or whatever it was, a muscle. Well, you must have got a phone call.
Sorry, I had to cancel it off there.
It's all good. Every now and then I can feel it in here. Right?
I can hear you. I just couldn't see you.
It's been 5 years, man. And, you know, like I can still feel it every now and then.
10 years on that finger, dude. And someday, especially, you know, in the wintertime. Good God, it fucking. But, yeah, so I went to the fucking. So immediately when I got off work, I went to the doctor. So I went to my local ER and they're like, yeah, dude, that thing's pretty fucked up. We're going to send it off to a specialist and have them look at it. They'll be in contact with you. All right. So I went home and, just within like an hour or so, I get a phone call from this specialist and he's like, hey, what are you doing today? And I was like, nothing. Why? He's like, cause I'm pretty sure I'm going to cut your finger off. And I was like, that's not a good way to get me to come into you. Like, do what? And so my dad drives me up there, like he's hauling ass, you know, and I'm fucking freaking out because that's the finger I put in my butt. And fucking like now I got to pay somebody to do this. Fuck. And so I get up there and he's got my x-rays out. And I never seen my x-rays at the ER. He shows me, dude, that thing. Oh, my God, dude, it was a mess. And so he looks at me. Now, mind you, again, this is my first hitch. And he's like, he pulls it up and he shows me the x-ray and it's all fucked up. And the next thing I know, he just starts hollering down the hallway for everybody. Like, man, come here and look at this finger. And like, is this fucked up bad? So like, everybody's like, holy shit. Like, and you worked like this? And I was like, what fucking choice do I have? He's like, go home. And I was like, it don't work like that out here, man. We won't have a fucking job. You know, like I got people that fucking need fed. Like, I can't do that. So I just fucking manned up. And he's like, well, listen, dude, I got to put you off work, you know, for a while over this and get it. I said, you put me off work, I'm going to take your life. Like, no fucking. He said, well, he asked me, he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I work in the oil field. I do wireline. And he's like, bro, the oil field. And you want me to let you go back to work? And I was like, listen, and I lied, dude. I lied so bad. I said, man, listen, I'm the fucking crane operator. I was 5 weeks into this job and I'm a fucking crane license. And I was like, listen, dude, I'm just a crane operator. I just sat here and pull levers, and I pulled off some big bullshit, you know? And he's like, all right, you can go ahead and go to work, but we're going to do these things, schedule you for surgery when you come back on your next set of days off. And they done some shit to, like, manipulate my finger to get the blood flow back, which hurt like fucking hell. And then I just never went back. Never went and got it looked at again. And now I'm stuck with a fucking finger that I can't do jack off with. Like, luckily it is my left hand. It sucks that it's the fucking butthole finger, but yeah. You know what? You got to work with what you got, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and I've had I herniated 3 discs in my back when I was out in California working, running crane. And the fucking engineer out there, he was a Poseidon engineer. He was building the barges. So, like, he engineered this barge for my 250-ton crane to crawl out onto this barge, and then I could go out and dredge this reservoir, right, to clean it up so it would quit flooding and fucking flooding the whole fucking town below him. And I'm looking at this barge setup, and I was like, listen, I know a lot about cranes, but I don't know a lot about barges. I've never been on a barge prior to this shit. But that barge looks kind of small, man. Like, I don't think that's going to hold a fully stacked out 250-ton crane. Hey, and it was a young kid, and he said, hey, man, you're the crane operator. I'm the engineer. You worry about the crane, I'll worry. And I was like, you know what? Fair enough. He's right. I don't know shit about that. So I minded my fucking business. Well, guess what? I almost sunk that fucking crane. I crawled that crane out onto that barge, dude. Next thing I know, the only thing that saved me was the counterweight snagged the other fucking barge, because when it finished, like, it almost tipped all the way back. Okay. So all I could do, and I had like a 13,000-pound clamshell on the end of my fucking line, and I just slammed, locked the boom down so it would boom down real quick, and I jumped. I jumped out into the water. Well, the problem was I didn't make it out far enough, and my back fucking cracked the fucking barge, a steel barge. And I, all in all, ended up herniating 3 discs, and I obviously bruised all to shit. I didn't walk. I was basically paralyzed for 3 months. I was off work for 7 or 8 months. And, like, at that point, like, you know, I need to get back to work. And, you know, money's running out. So I go back to work. And at that time, I couldn't even take 10 steps without having to sit down on the ground, like, take a knee. Could not. I was in physical fuck. Well, the guy they sent me out with had no wireline experience at all. So, like, and I stayed out for 30 fucking days straight with my back. Like, I was breaking guns down with pipe wrenches by myself on my knees out there in front of the company, man. They're like, dude, are you all right? And I was like, if you run me the fuck off, I'll fucking kill your dog in front of your family. Don't fuck with my fucking, like, I got to work. They're like, dude, you look like you're not going to make it. And I was like, I'm going to fucking make it. I promise. I've been in worse spots, but yeah, I'm hurting, you know, but
that's
like,
fucked, man.
Unfortunately, that's the way the culture was then. Now it's not so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it still has its moments, but at least now the companies will be like, yeah, go take fucking 6 weeks off. We'll pay you under the fucking table and just don't turn this in on workers' comp because we don't want our safety score fucked up. You know what? I'll take that. They still paid for my medical bills. They still fucking, you know what I mean? They're still paying me, set at the house. I'll deal with that. I'm cool with that. But, like, back then, bitch, they'll just take a lawsuit and fucking cut you loose. You know? Yeah. Like, they didn't give a fuck.
Dude, it's gotten a lot better, you know? Like, the balls on some people, though. Like, I don't want to get into it too much. But, like, basically, someone bet heavy that I wouldn't weaponize my social media against them. And they were right. I won't. Right? The most I did was post that video. And it looked bad. But Buddy wasn't happy, but I'm like, hey, I didn't post the fucking company logo in there, did I? I didn't name them directly, did I? You know, like, there's so much more I could have done there. But I did what I had to do, right? I had a story that I knew others would have. And I threw it out there, and man, it resonated. That's why I did so well. If you didn't treat me like this and other places didn't treat other people like this, this video would not be a thing right now.
Right. Right. You know? Treat people the way they fucking, you know, these guys are willing to go out there and fucking die for your company. And you want to treat them like shit, fuck off. Like, I don't have any self-control for shit bags anymore. I don't. Because you know what? I've got the experience, I've got the certs, and I've got the fucking name to go somewhere else at any time. Fuck you if you can't treat people right. Yeah. And that's my job. That's part of my job as a supervisor. You know what I mean? Like, as somebody that's the lead fucking operator, That's my job to make sure my guys go home, that I go home. And you know what? I don't give a fuck about your wells when it comes down to that. Every fucking time. You will run me off that job every single time if you put me in that position. I'm not going to let these guys get hurt. I'm not going to have that on my conscience. I'm not going to do it. I wish to God somebody looked out for me the way I look out for my guys. I'm not going to let them do something fucking dumb. I'm going to stay at, like, you know, with the cranes. Oh, my God, that's usually the biggest fight. We get heavy winds, you know. Don't get me wrong. I'll run that crane in some winds. I am comfortable enough because now, especially now, we have rig lock systems. So there's not a guy up there holding the lubricator where he's going to get fucked up in a high wind situation. There's nobody up there. So, like, worst case scenario, if I lose my load and can't get it back, I just bring it to the ground and let it chill out. So, yeah, I'm willing to run in some wind. But at the end of the day, if I don't feel comfortable, you don't get to tell me what to do. I'm the only certified motherfucker out here for it. Fuck off, dude. I'm not putting us in this fucking position. That crane tips over, smacks that well, causes a spark. Next thing you know, we got fire. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much that can go wrong. And you want to risk that to save 10 minutes? It is unbelievable what some of the audacity of some of these people. Wow, and I ain't got a fucking thing for them.
No, sir. Fuck no. Buddy, I fucking appreciate you coming on my
show. It's been a blast, and I appreciate you so much.
Dude, I appreciate you so much.
I have fangirled over you for a long time.
I have fangirled over you for a long time.
Oh, it's a shame. Stop. You stop. I'll suck your wiener.
I'll fuck you with your wiener.
Oh, we can dock it.
Ooh, buddy, the space station, the International Space Station.
Do you have foreskin? Are you cut?
No, I'm cut. Well,
we can't pull our skin over. We can't pull our skin. Like, yeah, if you had foreskin, you could pull your skin over top of my wiener.
Yeah.
And then we could just, like, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
I guess we'll just have to have butt sex now.
Oh.
Back to the old ways.
Oh, no, please don't.
My steak's too juicy.
Bro, I got one more question to ask, man, before we head on out and you go hang out with whoever you're gonna go hang out with. My family's waiting for me to call here. My kids are gonna go to bed here soon. So you know, Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people up on the rock, right? If the supervisor said if he had his own Mount Rushmore, four people that he looked up to, inspired to be, or that have inspired him, who would they be? Dead, alive, real, not real, don't matter.
Oh, man. What a question to just not let me prepare for.
Bro, you talk about your dick the whole episode. I talk about dick the whole episode. Then I smash you in the face like I'm smashing you in the face with my dick.
Yeah, you're making me change gears here.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Four people, huh?
Four.
Well, without a doubt, and I know this is going to sound such like a cliche, but 100% my dad's going on that fucking rock because that dude's something spectacular. But for the other three, Kevin Hart.
Oh,
yeah, Kevin Hart's going, dude. He's funny. He's funny
as
fuck.
He's funny as fuck, dude. I love that.
And then on a more serious note, dude, I think I'd have to throw Rush Limbaugh out there just because dude got my finances all straightened up. I read his books and shit. Like, bad. I know it sounds weird to come for me, but like, dude put me on a whole different path. Definitely. Ah, oh, shit, dude. Oh, fuck. I definitely got to put Alexis Texas on there.
Who's that?
That's a fucking famous porn star, dude.
Oh shit.
Like, from back in the day, that was like the white girl that started it out with having fat asses. Like, she bounces. She's going on that rock because she bricked me up so many times. She pulled me through some dark times. And fuck. The last one is, I'm going to have to say, not as a person, but as his character, I'm going to have to go John Wayne. I grew up on that dude, man. Yeah, you know what? This is for shits and giggles. Let's throw a fifth guy, and I'm going to have to go Don Knotts as well.
Damn.
You know, Knotts is Don Knotts from the Andy Griffin Show.
Yeah.
He's from just right up, like, a few hours from me in West Virginia.
Shit.
Yeah.
Bro, so you could have as many people on that rock as you want. You know, do you know the actual history of the Mount Rushmore?
Mm, Well, some, but
dude built it, you know, for
the people that built it. Okay, yeah. No, not so much.
So dude built it, and you know, for the times, and you know, who he thought was an inspiration from, you know, the beginning to whatever. Then he went to he made them so small, because if you've ever been there, the rock is actually small. It looks like there's room for a lot more, right? And that's because that's what there was supposed to be. He got called off the war. He didn't make it back. His son took over, and nobody has fit the bill to be that much of an inspiration that goes up on that rock.
No shit.
Yeah, man. So, wow. Hey, man, you fill that rock. You fill the rock.
Fill it.
You make it as hard as you want to.
Well, I have definitely, I think personally, I put some good ones up there. Comedy's a big part of my life. Jerking off's a really big part of my life. I'm happy with the ones I picked. Fuck it.
I love that, man. Man, I appreciate you coming on, man. This is my baby, you know. I get pumped to record. I get pumped when the episode comes out. And, you know, I said it once before, man. Like, once, you know, we record, you come in a stranger, but you leave a brother, you know.
Oh, dude, this is wild.
You leave family, man. You leave family.
Obviously, I'm a very outgoing person, but like this, I was nervous about, because I've never been on a podcast. And dude, from the before we even started recording, it has just felt so natural. This has been super. It's like, you know, looking at an uglier version of myself. You know?
Whoa! I was gonna say more handsome version of myself.
Well, you know, you might be biased, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Shit, dude.
Oh man, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate you coming on and being a part of, you know, what I'm doing.
I love
doing
it. I hope to see you again, dude.
Oh, you will, man. You'll be back.
I got some stories for you for another time.
Hell, dude. You have a lot of stories. I feel it.
Dude, it's insane.
We'll get more rated R next time too.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, brother. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on, man. And hey,
all right, big shout out. Thank you, dude.
You stay frosty.
I will stay frosty.
Supervisor say what?
Later, dude.
Music is playing. Oh, my God.